Hello, Ascension Gear 5, December 28th, very good tithings, hope all is well, you know, big show leaves, the big show comes for the tour, the big tour, you know, the big tour. Around the world tour? No, this tour, right here. Well, that's only for a few days. Nepal beckons. Would you like to join me on a big trip to Nepal? Or would you like to join me for a big trip down memory road with WITS, the Flying Saucer Club, Ascended Masters, and the whole nine yards? Congratulations, you've won. Anyway, it's pretty dark out here in the middle of the forest where no one really lives. Well, there's a person right over there, I guess, but he has a house. And here I am sitting in my van and wondering, what in the world do you do with all this information that's come to you in such unknown ways? Well, I guess you just tell the story and see what happens. So the story goes like this. Once upon a time, in a far-off village named Virginia Beach, you grant a wish or two by going surfing and going to school. What kind of school did you go to? Well, I went to this little school where there's a lot of people, except they don't really know very much. Well, how did you get out of that school? Well, I moved, I surfed, I watched a lot of TV, and then I came back to this little town in Virginia. It's really not that little, but it can seem pretty damn small when you're traveling the world. I mean, like, really small. Like, we're gonna get you kind of small. Mostly because of Christian fundamentalists, or was it the military? I don't know, but maybe it was just those archaic laws that seemed to jack us around, like, all day. Like, you're not going surfing without getting a ticket. Okay, well, if that's the way it's going to be, why don't we just all turn into a bunch of drug dealers? Well, a lot of us did, but I really wasn't one of them. I think I did sell $10 worth of weed one time. Does that make me a drug dealer? Oh, shit. That might make me a drug dealer. Well, according to my, one of my parents, it did make me a drug dealer. Except she was thinking of another story that wasn't even true, where I was apparently called a drug dealer. Of course, I only gave the guy $10 worth of weed, and I drove how many miles to give it to him? It was a favor. I don't think I made any money on that deal. Yeah, this is I learned later that I'd been a drug dealer for many years. I'm like, where's the profits? Where's my condo in France? Oh, it's sad. It's sad when your parents are so stupid. I have some of the dumbest parents. They're very smart, but they're very stupid. They're very stupid. My mother is so crazy. She called me a drug dealer for years and years, apparently, to many people. I didn't even find this out until I was like 50 or something. And then I was like, wow, I guess I was a drug dealer for like years and years. Oh my gosh. You damn drug dealer. Here I am off studying Ascension, and she's got me as a drug dealer. It's so stupid. She did have a little problem there when she was young, where she would siphon, or she would smell gasoline for a high. She told me this story as a teenager. I don't think that helped her. I don't think it helped her at all. I'm not sure all the other stuff, what happened, but I'm pretty sure that didn't help her. So if there's anybody out there trying that, I suggest you get the hell off of that program really fast. And most drugs, for that matter. In fact, I would probably get off all the drugs if I was you. No addictions. Oh, the beauty of leaving and traveling the world to get away. There's such freedom in places that might actually support you. Oh, they think I'm going to worry about who pays for this crazy show. It's really good therapy. If anybody wants to get out there and just kind of be therapeutic, just travel. So it doesn't really, or just think of the end time. So it doesn't really matter what happens. You're going to be dead anyway. You might as well enjoy yourself. So just come up with the biggest plan you can, the biggest, best plan, and just go for it. You might as well. I mean, what's to stop you? You're going to be dead anyway. You might as well get on with it. Yeah, they showed up. These masters, Jesus, Babaji, they came to me, yanked me off into the woods. They're like, you go out there or you're going to be dead. I'm like, all right, fine. I'm going. Off I went. It took me a bit. I was going to leave. Like, screw this. I'm not going off into the woods. I've only got a car and a few dollars anyway. What am I going to go off there for? Well, they're like, well, you're going to be dead if you don't. So you better get your ass out there. And I did. And it took me a bit to do that. Drop that stupid car, or the car, my only car at the time. And off I went. It was rough. I thought I was going to be dead. I tried to kill myself energetically. I thought I knew how to do that, actually, and I tried, but it didn't even work. It was sort of working. I mean, I was getting worse, but they were trying to stop me, and it was like, well, I guess I have to try a little bit here just because I'm still alive and might as well try. But, and then Hari Baba came. He's like flying all around me. I do have inner vision. I had inner vision since I studied so long. And I can see things when they're flying all around me. It was very unusual. And yeah, Hari Baba was there. He's like comforting me. And then I ran into these masters down the road once I finally got there where my food was. And they're like, well, you're the second coming of Christ. And I'm like, oh, great. You know, that ought to set me straight, right? Yeah, whatever. How does that work? The second coming of Christ. Well, evidently it has to do with building flying saucers. I can tell you that much, because the Divine Mother showed up shortly thereafter and told me, yeah, you better build some flying saucers. I was like, well, great. I don't know how to build flying saucers. Well, maybe you do. I mean, I try. I build them etherically at times. They don't really work that well, but they sort of work. They sort of go through, I guess just about anything, if you do it right. And, yeah, they can pick you right up. Anyway, off to Nepal. There's the Garaknath's program over there. I guess the more I study, the more it seems like Garaknath was responsible for Nepal in many ways, because the Gorkhas seem to be the founding fathers of Nepal. I could be wrong. That's what it seems like. And the Gorkhas are named after Garaknath, even though they're kind of warriors, some of them. but they're kind of scary warriors too. They were kind of feared in that region for being sort of fierce and stuff. But I guess if you're defending your territory, maybe it makes sense. I'm not sure the whole story. I haven't really researched the whole thing. I'm just happy that, well, Sadhguru was talking it up. He's like, yeah, Nepal is the best as far as like spiritual countries. He's like, yeah, they've set it up in a certain way. And he just goes on. And I was like, oh, that's surprising. He doesn't talk like that normally. And since I really want to get to somewhere better, where I don't think about the government all the time, crazy governments and stuff like this, then might as well, right? Might as well go. Why not? The money is obviously an issue, but I've got Zanga to take care of me. I got someone who owes me over $1 million. And they're slowly paying me back, but they argue too. They're nasty. They're not very nice about it. It's the same character that was my and my family there that I probably told the story. Yeah, they went from a demon to a something else. I don't know what. Some combination of some star and. And according to the star, at least, I mean, it seems that way, and Thoth, and Zanga, who kicked its ass, it was trippy. I mean, it gets really strange when you start going interdimensional, like, on a regular basis, like, you're basically an interdimensional character, and you go in and out of dimensions, like, you know, like, when you get close to California, everything starts being like, because of Hollywood, it's just like, oh, well, it's like that, this is like this, and it's like that. You know what that's from? It's become because of acting, that's what it's from. Well, it's not real, it's like this, and it's like that. Yeah, so you just automatically pick up on this lingo. It's kind of strange, but anyway, that's what happens when we're in the movies. I'm very close to California. I'm like a few miles from California and Oregon. So yeah, I mean, California is like right there. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. This radio stuff is hilarious. I get accused of not caring by my family. My father's side is worse because they're so stupid. They're this blue blood idiot, bunch of ass, you know, just jackasses. They're trying to tell me that I haven't done a good job because I didn't finish college. But I did. I went to the Ascension School for 10 years. I have a master's degree in spiritual matters. What do they have? Yeah, they went to college, all right. But what does that give you? I mean, come on. You learned something so you could make a living. I mean, and you may have learned it well, but it's just one topic. It's not mastery. If you want mastery, you got to study from teachers that or masters. So anyway, it's kind of pathetic, but that's what you get when you grow up. If you're supposed to be a big thing, then you get big trouble. I mean, you get big whining communities after you, and you may have grown up with them. I mean, and they could be a very large group. I mean, it's kind of scary how big the groups are. I can't even get my cousin's phone numbers from my own parents. They won't even give my own family's phone numbers to try to reach them. I don't have any problems with these cousins. They're like my little brothers and sisters. And I can't even reach them. That's how crazy my family is. I mean, you talk about crazy. Watch out, because you know you got dark reptiles in your family. Watch out. Yeah, I was raised with reptiles on one side of my family. There's no question that. I mean, I've been told straight up that my grandmother on the one side is part rep is a She's reptilian. He came from reptilian bloodline. And I can tell you a little about it, a bit about it. I don't know if you want to hear that, but the other side of that is I was also, that's actually not my family because I was born from a very high lineage, but it had to do with alien abduction. And I told this story, but I didn't get the show in. The stupid file transfer service doesn't work very well, so I had to send another show from... Yeah, it's crazy trying to understand all this. It's not that easy to produce this stuff because the files, you can't transfer the files to the group to put them on the radio because it doesn't work. It just simply doesn't work. So your phone has to be right, whatever, it's crazy. But I'm slowly learning, I guess. Anyway, so... I would like to mention more about the surfing and the sports from last week. I was going off pretty good. The sports can also provide a family because often people are lacking family. Their family doesn't come to the table, doesn't really get the job done or for whatever reason. We don't live in a culture of family. We live in a culture of sort of anything goes. It's getting crazier. The divorce rates, and mine were divorced at 6, so I grew up with parents that didn't, get along and fought. I actually spent part of the week at one and part of the week at the other for most of my childhood. So, this is the type of thing. But so the sports can provide quite a family structure because especially these individual sports, any sports, you can get wrapped up in characters. The individual sports, they're alone traveling the world. Well, mostly any individual sport, really, because you can just follow individuals. You don't have to follow the whole thing. And if you've done a lot of that sport, it feels closer. So, and if you were, good at it and had a chance to do what they were doing, then it's, closer still. And that was the case for me with surfing and tennis, actually. So I've continued to follow these people, certain ones. They're just entertaining. They for different, reasons. And they are family. You you kind of vicariously travel the world with them. They're going different places almost every week. It never really ends. With bigger sports, there's more attention, obviously, but the smaller ones, there's less. There's surfing, hardly anybody knows what's going on with surfing, except for a couple top stars. And then and maybe if you're on the West Coast, they know a lot more, or right on the certain parts of the East Coast, they'll know a lot because there's a lot of surfing. But in general, people don't know much. And then, you got stuff like tennis, and I'm not a golfer. Golfing seems really elitist and kind of nasty in many ways because of the fact that they're not really doing much. They're just kind of walking around acting rich or something. It doesn't really strike me as much of a sport at all. But anyway, I know people like this thing, and I've tried it, blah, 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 whatever. Way too much money spent, $100 to go golfing. What the hell is that? That doesn't sound right at all. Go give the money to the poor. Wandering around in some stupid golf cart, putting balls, and spending that kind of money. What are you doing? Wasting your damn time is what you're doing. Tennis, at least you're running around. It's usually free. There's courts all over the place in this country. It's also another sort of elitist activity, but it doesn't have to be. All you're doing is buying a racket and some balls and going out to some courts. So, it's not that elitist compared to golf. Not any big money involved. You can do that in the ghetto. There's courts all over the place. So that's good. You know, that's a different sport, and it's a freer. You know, there's more activity. There's high activity going on there. A truly physical sport that takes quite a lot of brain power to do it really well. And the higher you go, the more physical it gets. And no one really gets hurt. You know, you might get injured, but it's not a bloody sport or anything like that. The same thing with surfing. I mean, surfing is very different. Obviously, you got nature involved. You can drown. You can get cut up on the reefs. Surfing's a big lifestyle difference from the average person, and that's another reason it's kind of it's kind of, once you're in it, you're treated a certain way in the States. You're treated like a bum is how you're treated, which isn't exactly accurate, because you could be a pretty serious person and still be a heavy surfer. I mean, I was raised with blue bloods on one side and some wild artist on the other. The art kind of fit the surfing. The blue blood was all about going to the right colleges, making great grades, you know, A's and B's, and getting these big jobs. So or just doing big things. So that was in me as well. It certainly wasn't all about, you know, hanging out at the beach. But the surfing, I was very good at surfing, and I had a chance to make a living if I traveled more and got to the better spots and got used to certain other conditions and just continued to get better. Because when you come from Virginia, the waves are pretty bad, and you need to keep surrounding yourself with good waves so you can get better and better. And that was happening. I was getting better and better, and I continued to get better into my 30s even. But then the school came along, the Arkansas thing where I was studying, and that's when things changed, because the teachings were so high and that I stopped surfing. It was worth it to stay there. I didn't really want to stop surfing. And I did take one trip to Australia about 6 months into being there. And I met a girl there. I was there like 3 months or something. But it didn't compare to the school, even though, you know, I had this girl and we traveled around a bit. And so I came back, and the girl went back to Italy, and I continued to study, and that was it. I never really left again for the next 9.5 years, and that's a long time. So it had to be pretty powerful, because my addiction to water was very high, and that was my life. And so there you go. You know, I just wanted to mention that sports can provide family atmosphere. I'm not so sure about a lot of these sports. They seem pretty destructive, honestly. And surfing's a lifestyle. It really is. It keeps you in certain places. It keeps you connected to water, which most sports are definitely not doing that. And it keeps you in nature, which is another big deal. So you're in a meditative state out there. You're being cleansed. It's a very physical thing. So you stay in very good shape. You're not usually injuring yourself out there. If you're trying to perform the aerial tricks they're doing now, yeah, you can get injured pretty fast, actually. But at the time I was out there, it wasn't so much about these airs. It was more about clean lines and looking good and drawing out these certain
line so you look good on a wave. And it was taking this aerial approach. It was starting to, because of Kelly Slater mostly. There was some others involved too, the pioneers of all that. So it was going in this direction, but it wasn't on a high enough level, because they hadn't reached these high levels they are at today. So it was more about these lines, these turns people are doing. And so it was very different about the approach. So I didn't get into the air stuff too much. I did do some of it, but it wasn't like you had to. So it was different than it is now. It really wasn't that dangerous, except for the drowning. You could definitely drown. I almost drowned a couple times. And the sharks are always an issue, but on the East Coast, it's not that bad. There's no real, the great whites aren't a big deal. So, Florida, there's a lot of sharks, but not serious, not usually killer sharks, just like someone gets bit, but it's not like, you know, deadly. So I just wanted to mention that because it could sound like I'm just like, well, the sports aren't worth anything. Well, they do provide a family atmosphere in certain situations. The bloody ones, the really sketchy, you know, the where your people are getting, like, you know, they're losing their memories and they're getting just heavily injured. I think it's pretty stupid. And I don't think people should, you know, they could, if you're in your, you know, 40s and 50s and you still think that that's your main purpose is to sit around watching sports, I think you have a serious problem. If you have the potential to make it in the sports, well, obviously there's some reason to be, you know, studying this stuff. And it could provide a healthy lifestyle in some ways. You'll be exposed to a lot of mental warfare and stress, even if it's not physical, because of the nature of competition. But there's worse things. You could be involved with some horrible company that's ripping people off. There's a lot of that out there. So I'm not sure how bad a lot of it is. I do think that if you're involved with some destructive thing where you're really trying to beat people up, you know, that's a bad thing. But in the culture we live in, there's worse things than running around trying to beat somebody at something and nobody gets hurt at the end of it. So anyway, I wanted to add that. And the Himalayan stuff is a big deal right now, because I'm seriously considering going to Nepal, and I'm trying to figure out the language. And you can study in the English TEFL. That's a certificate. And I guess if you get that, you're kind of licensed to teach in a way, or anywhere in the world. That's like proves that you've been through something that makes you teacher quality. So I'm looking into that. And I'm going to run out of time again. I did want to get into the Garaknath stuff because of the chakras and his take on it. And I've seen that they've shown me I'm in the second chakra. You can activate any chakra, but you're going to start at the bottom and you have to work your way up. So you're going to start at the first, the base. You're stuck in the world. You have to get out of the world into the second one. And then you have to get into the third one. And that's where all the supernatural stuff. If you stabilize there, you're a supernatural master, according to Garaknath. And he's one of the great ones that people realize was an incredible master. He had all the abilities. He's still around today. Pilot Bobber runs into him in the 1970s. And the book is, a lot of it's about Garaknath and how respected he is, even among the immortal communities. They love him. And the book is phenomenal, That Philosophy of Grokhnoth. So I recommend reading that. That's the end of my 30 minutes. So blessings. Welcome to subscribe if you want to see the show more. And yeah, maybe I'll see you in the Himalayas, or we might meet over there sometime. Anyway, that's it.